This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I don't envy the Knicks front office because the trade deadline is Thursday. So what do you do with this team? Do you just ride it the way it is, or do you make a seismic move that makes it a sure thing that they get into the playoffs, but you might have to trade some collateral away? Is it worth it? Because even if you make that trade, you're going to want to have control over the player for a while.
Right.
So, you know, in the case of Victor Oladipo, do you really want to get Victor Oladipo, who could be a free agent at the end of the year? And then you're going to have to pay him big money to keep him.
I make a move to improve this year, but as long as it doesn't come at the expense of the future, and hopefully you can make a deal that improves the team this year and can also improve the team in the future. So getting a free agent, a guy that's going to walk, I don't think I play that game. But if it's somebody that could help me now and in the future, if that's available, then I think I do it.
The Michael K. Show.
If you're a little more invested than zero.
On 98.7 ESPN.
A big weekend for the New York Giants signing Kenny Golladay to a four-year, $72 million contract. We kind of scoffed that he wanted 18 per year. He's going to get 18 per year, and $40 million of it guaranteed. So they paid top dollar, and they've put together a lot of weapons for Daniel Jones. Do they have a great offensive line? No. But if they could just be average with the weapons they have, they could be quite good, and that could be a real good litmus test whether or not Daniel Jones is the real deal.
And this is what I want to find out from Mike when we have him on. Did they get themselves a number one? He may be a number one for the Giants, but is he a true number one wide receiver? Because if he is, Michael, then this is what you have to pay for that. And this is something they've really been missing. And now that could really make for some big weapons. Because if you're going to tell me he replaces Golden Tate, which technically he does on the roster because Tate's not coming back, Tate was not even close to a one.
Well, we'll get him in to find out. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Our very own GM here at ESPN, Mike Tannenbaum, joins us now. Mike, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Great to be with you guys. How's everybody?
Everybody's great. All right, so is Golladay, in fact, worth that money? And the money is what the money is. I don't even get involved in that anymore in football because – the money managers could make it dance and make it count against the cap the way they want. But is he a top-flight receiver, Mike?
Yeah, in my opinion, he is. I heard Don's comments, and I appreciate that because there's so many receivers out there, and a lot of them sign one-year deals. But the two things he has, in my opinion, is he has size and he has touchdown-making ability, and that's something that they sorely need. When you look at his career over 4 years, he has 21 touchdowns. And when he's healthy, he can stretch the field and he can make the contested catch. That's the big if with him. In 4 years, he's only played in 16 games once. But if we go back a year ago and look at the Giants, you know, Daniel Jones only had 11 touchdowns. They were poor in the red zone. They were poor in third down. And Kenny Golladay can be that frontline receiver.
Now, I don't know whether you'd call it a sleepover or whatever. He spent the entire day there. It was ridiculous how long he was at their facility, Mike. So, what is a general manager, what were they asking him? Was it a physical thing because of missing 11 games last year? Or do you think he was diving into the relationship with Patricia and some of the allegations that maybe he didn't come back from his injury because of what was going on in Detroit?
You know, it's probably a little bit of everything, Don. You know, sometimes when you send a player out, it could take several hours to do an MRI, a physical. You know, agents are calling other teams. Presumably it could have been Baltimore or whomever. And at the same time, Dave Gettleman's doing his job. He's monitoring the other receivers that are out there in terms of, you know, you're looking, we're looking. So sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes the player wants to go back to the hotel, talk to his agent, a loved one, talk to another team, and then make a decision. And typically in free agency, guys, if Kenny Golladay is going to go take a trip to Baltimore, you know, we're going to bring in the next receiver. And, you know, while you're looking, we're looking. And that's just the way the game is played. They did pay a massive premium. There's no mistake about it. But when you look at all these frontline receivers in the draft, too, when you factor that in as well, the Jalen Waddles, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Golladay's a lot bigger. And again, he scores points, and that's something this Giant offense needs. So if you're going to overpay a little, like, go fix a problem. And I think we got to give the Giants credit for that.
And also, if you're going to overpay, Mike, this is the time to overpay when Daniel Jones is still on a rookie contract.
100%. And the only grade we really could give Daniel Jones right now, in my opinion, is a grade of incomplete. We just don't know. And I think this is such a consequential year in his career, because now you look up and I think Darius Slayton's very underrated. Sterling Shepard's certainly competent. They added Kyle Rudolph, you know, with Evan Engram. And if Barkley's healthy, that's a really good skill group. And there's really no excuses. Daniel Jones has to produce next year.
Is this pickup big enough that if you were someone who favored Washington in the division, this now could put the Giants certainly ahead offensively?
You know, I don't think so, but I do think it helps close the gap. Like, I don't think the Giants are this sort of like, you know, draconian, stuck-in-the-mud offense. I think this is a team that should be legitimately explosive with three real NFL receivers that can run. They got two tight ends that are really good. And obviously Barkley brings some, you know, athleticism and potentially, you know, difference-making ability. So I don't know if I would put them first in the division, but this is a team that should go score 24 to 28 points a game every week and feel like they're always in it in the fourth quarter. And again, if this quarterback plays as well as he's flashed, they should be good on offense.
See, that's the thing. We talk so much, Mike, about got to get him weapons so we can find out exactly what he is. This is a team that drafted him sixth overall. So has anything happened in the first 2 years that would make them think they made a mistake?
Well, I think the analysis is similar with Darnold. I know you see it differently, Don, but greatness is about making players better. We could be talking about baseball, basketball, and in this case, obviously football. And at some point, like Ryan Tannehill, when we had him in Miami, led us to the playoffs when he was healthy. He was not perfect. He needed to get better, but he got us to the playoffs. And my problem with both Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold is show some greatness. And I think Daniel Jones, in fairness, has shown a little bit more than Sam Darnold, but that's what it's about. So, again, I'm not saying that Daniel Jones has to be Patrick Mahomes, but that defense was, as we know, improved and somewhat underrated, and they should be in the mix. If there's a 17 playoff next year, the Giants, if they get representative play out of Daniel Jones, something like what Ryan Fitzpatrick's been the last 2 years, they'll be in the mix for the playoffs.
All right, so let's get to the problem that Don had with something that you said. You had said that you would draft Zach Wilson with the number two pick because teams want to pick quarterbacks that they have a hard time defending against. And here was Don's reaction to that, Mike, so you can hear.
Where the hell's he going with that?
Sam's not as mobile, so I'm going to go draft the next quarterback because he's more mobile. And he throws Bill Parcells out. Bill Parcells said he would keep Sam over anybody else that's in the draft. You have every right to want Wilson over Darnold. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum's entitled to his opinion. But don't give me all the gobbledygook of coaches draft players that are hard to defend. And Bill they draft quarterbacks who they think are going to be good.
Your reaction, Mike.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, but gobbledygook's a new one, so that I can add that to the long list.
I never said you. So, I didn't call you gobbledygook. I what you said was gobbledygook.
Okay, well, let me explain it and translate it so you understand that it's not gobbledygook. My point then and remains the same today is this: I've had the great fortune in my career of working for mostly defensive head coaches, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini. They have 10,000 Super Bowl rings. 100% of them would say today, yesterday, and tomorrow that they want to acquire offensive players that they have trouble defending. So Bill Belichick, look at slot players, running backs who could catch, tight ends. You could look at Rex Ryan, always struggle with quarterbacks that can make plays with his feet. And my point about McDermott was when Sean McDermott traded up for Josh Allen, one of the things that Josh Allen brings to the table, his skill set in particular, is outstanding outside the pocket. That's something that a lot of defensive coaches don't want. They want you to be a sitting duck in the pocket. Bill Parcells, who I talk to frequently and see about once a month for lunch, so we talk about this all the time. Yes, he likes Sam Darnold, and Bill could speak for Bill all he'd like, and that's not for me to say, but I will tell you that it's not a secret that he does like Sam Darnold. With that said, my point is, when you look at those players back-to-back, Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, to me, and looking through the lens of working with those coaches for over 20 years, Don, it is a lot easier to defend Sam Darnold than it is Zach Wilson. So you may call it gobbledygook. I'll just call it facts.
Well,
Whoa.
The reason I called, because you're entitled to your opinion. And obviously you know a lot more of football than I do. The reason I brought up the gobbledygook was because, like I said, Bill, with the same premise, would end up taking Sam over Wilson, because he still thinks that Sam is the better quarterback. That's what I think ultimately moves the needle. because we didn't know Josh Allen was the better quarterback until he all of a sudden gets Stephon Diggs and the team improves around him, and now he looks like he's great. That his rookie year, even his first couple of years, that loss in the playoffs to Houston, he didn't look like he was ready. And I don't think the Jets have done anything to give us any kind of inkling on what Sam Darnold can be. So I just think the general managers pick who they think the best quarterback is going to be, because then they become difficult to stop once they're on the right team, once they have weapons, once they're protected properly. We don't know Sam can do any of that stuff yet.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. Josh Allen has flashed a lot more early in his career than Sam Darnold has. And again, my point on Sam Darnold just goes back to basically when you look at a five-year track record, 22 interceptions at USC, 39 in the pros, 7 more lost fumbles. He has a propensity to fumble the ball. I like Sam. I think he has a chance to be a decent quarterback. My point, Don, is at some point you have to elevate people around you. And I agree. They have not given him a lot of consistency, continuity from a coaching scheme or a talent standpoint. So I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But when you look at these players back-to-back and you look at what Zach Wilson did in terms of elevating the program at BYU, he's made that whole program better. I scouted him in person. He's still a little bit undersized. I don't think he's perfect, but his accuracy outside the numbers, 20 yards or more down the field, is exceptional. And where this game is going and the way that Michael LaFleur, I believe, will call plays, I think he's a perfect fit for what the Jets want to do.
But what's interesting, though, too, and I don't want to hog up all the time, guys, but
no,
we didn't know Josh Allen was going to be Josh Allen on draft day. He ended up being the fourth quarterback picked. So, and we found that out. Why? Because he ended up going to the right team, right coach. So, you know, Baker Mayfield was number one. Sam Darnold was number three in that draft.
And Don, I was with the Dolphins when we went through that whole process. And
right.
Josh Allen is a statistical, and to Buffalo's credit, they deserve a ton of credit because I was wrong on him, but he is a statistical anomaly, which is his accuracy was awful at Wyoming. And it's gotten historically better. And that's why Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, will be a head coach. And clearly getting Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs obviously helps. But what Josh Allen has done is historic. And he deserves a ton of credit. But there was nothing that would have given me reason to think that trading up for him was the right decision. And my point is, if you ask Sean McDermott today, call him up in Buffalo and say, Sean, for the next 5 years, who would it be harder for you to call defenses against? Sam Darnold, who's more of a pocket passer, although he is a good athlete, or Zach Wilson, a dynamic athlete with a great arm with downfield accuracy. And I'm willing to bet you, Don, that if Sean McDermott was honestly answering that question, he would say, I hope the Jets keep Sam Darnold.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mike, I got to ask you something about Deshaun Watson. Now I'm just reading Houston News, 13 different lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson. Are you hearing any conversation? I mean, I think we're past the point where there's any kind of question about whether or not there was something going on here. I mean, obviously we have to wait and see how this the whole thing plays out, but 13 people, there was something clearly afoul here. Is there any conversation about the timing of this? Is it possible that Deshaun sensed that he had issues in Houston and wanted to get out of town? Is there any conversation in football circles just about how weird the whole unfolding of this story is?
Yeah, you know, it's a terrible situation, and these are very serious allegations. And, you know, that's very reasoned speculation. All I would say is if I was another team, I would still very closely monitor you know, whether he would be available. I would not make the trade right now until these allegations are clarified and the investigation is completed. So it's a very difficult situation, but candidly, I would certainly monitor it, because if and when it's cleared up, I don't want to be the one that's, you know, not, you know, involved and all of a sudden he's traded to a competitor. But unfortunately, this seems to be getting, you know, more dire and more serious by the day. And clearly, if I'm another team, I can't just count that happening. And Well, I may monitor it. I'm certainly going to exhaust all my other avenues to improve the team.
It's funny, though, Mike, because Adam Schefter said on Friday, I don't know if it's changed now that the number is 13, he said he thinks the value is still the same, that they would still get that same kind of value for Deshaun Watson, even with the stuff not resolved. I find that hard to believe. What GM, even if a guy already has a bust in the Hall of Fame, what GM would make a deal until this stuff is cleared up one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't think you can, Michael. And I think, and I'm not speaking for Adam, but I think the point is, if it's cleared up, then the value would be the same. And this is not really the same sort of analogy, but it's the closest one I can think of. But Lyle Collins was a very talented, highly thought of prospect coming out a couple years ago. He was investigated for a very serious situation in Louisiana that ultimately he was cleared on. He didn't get drafted. Dallas signed him after the draft because as an undrafted free agent, obviously there's very little risk. He was cleared, and obviously the rest is history. He's been a very good player, but I agree with exactly what you're saying, Michael, which is no team in good conscience can give up anything of material value until this situation's clarified.
Now, no one's a saint. This is big business, billion-dollar business. Do GMs even care, or do they just care about the PR fallout if they did trade for a guy like him if it wasn't resolved?
No, I think they care. Look, I can't speak for every one of my former peers, but look, you know, we want to do things the right way. We're all ultra competitive. We want to win. You know, we want to win within reason, within the rules. And obviously, you know, when there's allegations about, you know, what Deshaun Watson may have done, you know, everyone, I think, you know, kind of sits back and pauses, you know, in the appropriate way. And you do try to balance that with like, well, I don't want to be, you know, on a scouting trip and find out he just got traded to a team in our division. So, you know, you're still calling Houston and you want to monitor it, but you want to, a situation like this, you really want the league to come in and say, hey, we're going to, you know, his eligibility is in question. We're going to go through the investigation and then we're going to make a ruling. And then this way it's an equal playing field. But obviously every day the situation gets, you know, more dire and it's obviously one that's, you know, it's sad and, you know, there could be a number of victims here.
It's so strange, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you had the information when you were with the Dolphins, but everything we've heard about this guy before this all came out, Mike, was that he was the upstanding citizen. I mean, is that accurate? Is that what was
100%, Michael? 100%. Impeccable character,
wow.
His background, how he comported himself at Clemson, his relationship with his mother since he's been in Houston, it's beyond reproach, so... Obviously, these are serious allegations, but right now that's all they are. And I think, you know, we got to let the process run its course. And I'm just saying, like, through the lens of another team, you're really walking a very fine line because you're right. You can't walk into your owner and say, hey, we're going to give up 3 first-round picks and things will take care of itself. Like, we're well past that point where you have to monitor it, but you also have to move on and look at your other options.
Mike, we're trying to figure out the logic of Gettleman saying he doesn't like to redo contracts. He wants to keep the cap hit flat through the length of the contract. Is that ultimately the right thing to do? Do you understand his logic, or is he missing the overall point when you're seeing great championship caliber teams adjusting their cap and making room?
Yeah, I don't. Is that more gobbledygook?
I think it
wow.
is compared to what you know. No. You don't restructure a contract. You want to keep it flat when there's work to do in free agency.
So, Dave, Don, I think what Dave is trying to say, and it's really a very fine line here, which is this: on the one hand, when you renegotiate contracts, and I've done it, you're kicking the can down the road. You got to remember, unlike other sports, in the NFL salary cap, every dollar you spend is going to hit the cap, whether it's today or tomorrow. So what Dave is doing for the New York Giants for the next 5 years is great business. He is making sure that, in his mind, the window is open each and every year. But your point is completely fair, Don, which is when you look to your left and your right and other teams are moving cap charges to future years when the cap is going to go up significantly now that we have the TV deals and the Amazon deal, you're saying to yourself, we could be more competitive and not irresponsible, which is fair as well. But I think Dave has a way of doing things, and it's conservative, but I also think it's responsible. So, you know, you look at a guy like Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien leaves Houston. They don't have first-round picks for the next 2 years, massive dead money, and you don't want that either. So, you know, part of the role of a GM is to have checks and balances, and I think from that standpoint, you know, we got to give Dave Gettleman credit.
It's funny, though, the Golladay contract is exactly the opposite of what he said he doesn't want to do. It's all kicked down the road. It's only $4.5 million against the cap this year.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, Mike, is like you get competitive and say, hey, like we have a chance to get a 27-year-old point scorer. We have struggled scoring points. And, you know, as you guys asked earlier, you asked the right question, which is why was he in the building so long? You know, knowing Joe Judge, I'm sure it was a very long and thorough conversation. And once all those boxes are checked, you're saying like, well, we haven't kicked the can down the road with all these other veteran contracts. We're going a little bit outside our comfort zone. But if we're getting a young, high character, ascending point scorer, if we're going to do it, this would be a time and a place to do it. So, again, this is all reason speculation. But I think Dave deserves credit from the premise that he's looking through the lens of trying to keep the window open as much as he can, you know, not for just this year, but into the future.
All right, now we've covered a lot, Mike. And I just want to know one thing. Are you and Don okay? Because that's important. I want everybody to be okay.
Absolutely. I love Don LaGreca. I go all the way back to the the Marriott in Long Island with Terry Bradway, and we are 100% good.
Yeah. We just agree to disagree, but that makes for good radio. But I respect you. You know that, right?
Yeah, same here. Absolutely. I'll just have to, you know, make sure that my reason speculation is better than gobbledygook the next time.
Yeah, gobbledygook. Yeah, it's an ugly word he used. I don't blame you for being upset. All right, Mike. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
You got it. That is Mike Tannenbaum. So he and Don go head-to-head and chest-to-chest and nipple-to-nipple, and it comes out okay.
I'm never comfortable with
ever.
It.
Ever.
I just
it doesn't make it – I don't know why everything ends up coming back to being naked.
It's very common.
I spend very little time.
Isn't that how you come into the world and essentially how you go out?
Well, I don't know what you're going to be doing when you die. I don't plan on going out naked.
Well, you're going to be naked at some point before they put the clothes on you.
No, I'm not sure about that at all.
Wow. Peter,
unless they find you someplace in the middle
of something. More importantly, Peter, it's another round of Drop Madness.
That it is, Michael. And, of course, it's brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. By the way, I just had some of the chili. I'd had it in my fridge. Delightful. Just delightful. We'll start out in the K region, where you have the 5 seed. Lowe becomes the first player to hit two opposite
It's not
field.
Lowe. It's Lau.
Need to get that together before Wednesday. Any sort of name issues. Let's go to the 12 seed.
Brandon, Minnesota.
Yes, that's how they say it.
Great town.
I don't understand something. I really.
Oh, this is Don. I'm predicting a run from the 4 seed.
How's Ballard Wallard? Is he feeling badly today?
I agree.
Up against the 13 seed.
They had no sewers in Chevy Chase.
I'll tell you what, hell of a matchup. I believe that's 7:45 TNT tonight if you want to watch. In the Peter region, we have the 5 seed. Oh, I ate the head. I just felt the head crush. Up against the 12 seed. I don't want to be Jake Tapper. Tough. Very, very tough.
Not really when you think about it.
Which one are you going with? You're saying easy win for the 5 seed?
I ate the head, yes.
Let's go to the 4 seed in the Peter region.
So in the Washington game, you think that Young is going to chase Jones.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened? You know, if you think about it, that machine going out ruined a great line by me. It never got the attention that it should have.
That's a very good point. I think about that every time I hear the drop because it was a great line. It was very funny.
It was about Chase Young and Steve Young?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Got my Chase Young rookie card today, by the way. Very excited. Gem in 10. It's gorgeous. Then we have that 4 seed up against this feisty 13 seed. I dove under him with the bag and caught the urine. In the Don region, everybody's favorite 5 seed.
Let me pin you right up against the wall with my hand in your throat.
Dear God, dear Triad, it was so fabulous to drop you.
How could that lose? Well, it'll deal with this at-large 12 seed.
The Michael K. Shart.
That's a great 12.
It is, but that's a tough matchup because you know what? My response to K is not losing.
Andrew, before I announce this matchup, I just want to say this matchup worries me. Are you scared at all that because of what we have at the 13, we could see the 4 seed eliminated?
In what you're about to announce?
Yes.
I don't think the 4 seed can lose here, but it is a very difficult 13 that it's going against.
And it would be, in a word, I think Michael and I would walk out if it loses. But you have the 4 seed.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Doesn't get better than that, let's be honest.
It can't, but it's dealing with this 13 seed.
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984.
It's a beautiful 13. Don, that's like the first upset I ever bet in the pool, the East Tennessee State-Arizona game right there, that 13-4. That's
yeah,
gorgeous.
We'll see. That's a lot of heavy lifting for Hard Bodies.
Then we go to the nether region, the 5 seed.
Mr. Unlimited.
Up against the 12.
That's when men were men.
Ah.
Big day for Joe.
I'd love to see Joe meet Russell Wilson.
A beautiful 4 seed.
Ooh, Tiger just hit it close on 10.
Oh, that's such a...
I don't think the 4 seed's going to have very much trouble with this messy 13. Now let's check into at Limelight, where Don is hitting the dance floor. He's 2 or 3 vodka tonics in. Donnie, how you doing out there?
Oh, boy. You know, we never say anything when we hear the national anthem in the background at the baseball.
Michael has never had this. I'll tell you what. When I really give it its time, it is beautiful, Michael.
It is. Very beautiful. Underrated.
And the music was obscene. I kept calling attention to it. And Don wanted to kill me. Anyways, yeah. You could go vote. TMKS ESPN. On Twitter, vote now. It'll be open until 6:20, all brought to you by our friends at Wendy's.
Oh, beautiful. All right, so you've heard a lot from Mike Tannenbaum. You've got the Drop Madness matchups for the day. Now we'll towel off and take your phone calls when we get back at 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.